Christina Spicer, welcome to Latinas Power Talk.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here, my friend.
Oh my goodness, I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
So am I. I kid you not, every time that we go have lunch, I get little nuggets of wisdom from you because I think you're just super inspiring.
Oh, sister, and thank you.
You're so relatable as well, but I feel like in those moments where we get to just sit down, unwind, and just have lunch and talk about girl stuff and business stuff and just like being a working Latina woman, I learned so much from you. So I'm so excited about this conversation and all the little nuggets that you're going to share with us and what we can learn from you, because I think you're super inspiring. You're not only an amazing human being, but you give back to so many people as well. And you help whoever comes within your circle. You're always so nice and gracious to lend a hand. And
my goodness,
that's something that I take with me. And I say this repeatedly. I think you helped out a lot with the live event podcast in ways that I will never be able to repay you back. So thank you.
That was such an incredible experience and event. And just to see so many women rallying around each other to support each other and listen to one another is amazing. So the platform you're creating for is also incredibly inspiring.
Thank you. But let's talk about you. This episode is about you. So you are the co-CEO of Girl Scouts Arizona Pipe Cactus.
Yep.
What drew you to that mission? Tell me a little bit about how you got started in this role.
Yeah. So as far back as I can remember, being able to stand for girls and women has always been kind of my thing, right?
At the core.
My core. And I remember, so I'm the first person in my family to go to college. I went to ASU. And
go Sun Devils.
Go Devils.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah.
What school were you at?
So I was, my first college that I was at was the Hugh Downs Communication School.
Okay.
And I always joke around because the building was, the bottom floor was all the journalism majors and all the top floor were human communication. Okay. And you could always tell the difference because the journalism majors were always like dressed in nines. They got their cute heels on. They looked
TV
so pretty
ready
all the time. And then we would get in the elevator and it would be like this really beautifully dressed human. And then us, we were like in our UGG boots and like sweats and we're like, top floor, please. not the bottom floor. So I graduated with my degree in human communication. I found out you could get a degree in talking and was like, yes, that's what I'll take.
That's what I'll do.
I'll take that one.
I'm good at that.
Yes, I'll just keep talking. So my last semester in college, I did a women's studies course and it was an independent study. And the request was of my study was I had to find a job that served women and girls. Mm. So I ended up getting a job with an organization called Not My Kid and really working with youth and telling personal stories of recovery and strength and challenges to youth. And I loved it, and it was really broad. And from there, I went and I was able to work at Teach for America and learned a lot about our education system and all of the incredible.
So were you a teacher for a minute then?
I wasn't.
Okay.
So
okay.
I was one of the anomalies. I always joke because Teach for America's kind of tagline was like, we're here for the best and the brightest. Like that's what we recruit is best and brightest. I'm like, I was never one of their best and brightest.
Oh, no.
But I was somebody who grew up in the community, grew up in the schools that we placed our educators in, and it was an incredible experience to really understand our community's desire and passion to help our education system and really understand that no matter what zip code you live in, you absolutely can be in a space of learning and growing and development. We just need excellent teachers in the classroom. And so I had that experience, and so I always joked that I would end my career at Girl Scouts. Like, I thought that was, like, the mothership of places to go. And when I got the call to go and take a look at the position that they had open, which was a fund development position, I was like, well, yeah, but I'm not ready to end my career yet. I didn't know. Mm. So I kind of was like, can I come back in, like, a couple years? I have some things I need to finish up here at Teach for America. And then I realized, I'm like, no, the answers now, right? Like I didn't have all the answers. I was not prepared for the jump, but decided to make the jump into Girl Scouting. And it's been an incredible gift. So in July, I will have been there for 11 years.
Wow.
And I have learned so much about what it means to raise resources for women and girls. How, you know, it was fascinating to look at from a financial and investment. When we raise money for women and girls, I think sometimes we feel like we need to create the victimization or sensationalize the idea of like, oh, like it's a deficit mindset. Mm-hmm. versus an empowerment and
uplifting
right. and really telling a story of like, let's ensure the fact that our girls have everything that they need so that they can have all the incredible success in the world.
Right. And so the first time, and I don't know if you remember this, the first time that we went to lunch, if I'm honest, as a kid growing up, because I moved to Arizona in 2004, mm-hmm. There were a lot of my friends, a lot of my peers in like grade school, middle school, who were in Girl Scouts. Yeah. But that was something that I wasn't really familiarized with of mm-hmm. like what it actually entails and what the mission and the values were of the Girl Scouts. So I remember the first time that we went mm-hmm. to lunch, you brought up this whole conversation about the purpose of the infamous Girl Scout cookies, yeah. right? And what that stands for. And I have never seen Girl Scouts in the same way as I do now.
Yeah.
Because there is such power in what you guys are doing. And like you said, it's not a deficit. It's an mm-hmm. opportunity that we're giving. And it's like inspiring mm-hmm. and making means for women, because these young girls are going to turn into women that contribute to society. And it's allowing them space to thrive in whatever they envision themselves.
Absolutely.
So can you explain a little bit about those cookies? Because that's something that I didn't know. And yeah. I thought it was super fascinating.
Yeah. It's an incredible story, and I think that it's probably one of the best kept secrets
it
in
is.
Regards to what it is. And I think people get so excited about a delicious Thin Mint.
Yes. I remember when you said this, my jaw dropped. I was like, Christina, I did not know this, and I don't think like my friends know this either. I'm like, we need to get this out there more.
Yes. Yes. And it's an incredible story. So going back, so Girl Scouts have been selling cookies for about 110 years.
Wow.
And they did that because they wanted the ability to do the things that they wanted to do back then. Mm-hmm. And so it was really challenging for the girls to be able to raise resources to do things like learn to drive a car or want to play basketball or want to be able to contribute to society in the needs that they specifically saw in their community and mm-hmm. to have resources to do that. So they did what they knew how to do, which is they went in and they baked some cookies and then they sold them. And now 110 years later, we still have the largest bake sale in the world.
Wow.
That ensures the fact that girls have the opportunity to do the things that they want to do. And they can specifically look at what are the challenges in their own community and then be able to provide resources to that, real cash, which is inspiring. And so the way that this kind of the cookie crumbles, if you will, is that when you look at the resources, so the troop receives resources. So they receive $1.08 per box that they sell. And then the council receives resources that actually support things like our camps, our programs, the staffing support that is mm-hmm. There to support the Girl Scouts, and then also the cost of goods. The cost of goods, that's actually like, you know, butter, sugar, things like that.
Coconut.
Yeah. And so when it all plays out, the beautiful part is that the girls get an opportunity to step back and say, I'm going to set, what kind of goals do I want to set? And so if I know how much money I'm going to make, then they can budget that out. Here are our expenses. Here are our revenue that we're going to do. And then they can set those goals. How am I going to invest in myself? How am I going to invest in my troop? How am I going to invest in the community as large? And when we think about women entrepreneurship, one of the biggest challenges of women starting their own businesses is the fear of the financial side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know this.
Right.
I mean, it's terrifying. And
yes.
So if at 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, you have the ability to realize, I know how to budget. I know how to hear no. I know how to be able to make all of the finances work and to budget accordingly. You're unstoppable at that point.
It's no pun intended, but it's like the recipe to success. Like you're giving them all the ingredients to succeed, because yes, in business, I mean, we know this, you're going to hear a lot of no's, a lot of rejection. Yeah. And if you don't get used to it, that can really, you know, like hit your confidence, your whatever, moving forward, right? But then also, I think you're teaching them budgeting skills, you know, finance 101, how to really just thrive financially and be fiscally responsible as well. There's so many perks, I think, of like what you guys are doing. And I think it's more than just selling cookies. Mm-hmm. And that's what I hope someone takes away from this, that like the next time, and I know this has happened after that conversation that we had, anytime I see Girl Scouts, I'm like, you know what? I have cookies at home, but here you go. Like, I need more, because it's just incredible. I think it's like such an incredible opportunity that we're teaching kids at such a young age.
Totally. And the incredible power behind what's happening for families behind that. So you have the girl that's learning the skill.
Yeah.
And you also have families that are learning that skill alongside of them.
Mom.
Who,
grandma.
Yeah. Dad. You know, and so this opportunity to, for, it, you know, I say, I'm like, Girl Scouting, this is not cheer, right? This is not, you know, soccer where you're like sitting back and you're watching the show happen. You are rolling up your sleeves. You are learning alongside. You are schlepping the cookie. It is hard. But my daughter is a second year cadet, and she's been in it since she was a daisy. And what I've watched happen for her has been incredible. And I think we lose the special sauce of why do people keep doing this? It's hard. It doesn't make any sense. It's a lot of work. It's stressful. All the things. We can list all the reasons why the cookie program is challenging, but the return on investment is so big for the young person that is in your life.
Yes. And then I was going to say that brings up a point. So you guys have been doing this for 110 years. In those 110 years, there's been a lot of change.
Yeah.
How have you been able to continue pushing forward and maintain such a strong program despite all the difficulties, despite, you know, recessions and a lot of political things that are happening too, and a lot of just difficulties that sometimes, and maintain relevance too, because now with like social media and just like kids being super advanced and, you know, in a different space and time than when we were growing up, you know, without this, you know, without other distractions, without whatever, how have you guys been able to maintain that in a strong place?
Yeah. You know, I think that it's incredible because you look back. So Girl Scouts started before women had the right to vote. Some women had the right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you look over time of what has happened in the last 113 years that we've been in existence, and you can learn so much from history. And so you look at what the current situation is now, and you can look back and go, how do we ensure the fact that we're on the right side of history?
Right.
How do we look back and go, how do we make sure that we are always standing for what our mission is, which is girls? And we want to make sure that every single girl has the opportunity to live their fullest potential. That has never changed. So from the core of when we started, when Juliet Gordon Lowe, our founder, had this incredible opportunity to bring this to the United States, that was the vision. And so those core values have never shifted, yet the programming around it has. So that identity has stayed really strong to the core mission of saying, we're going to ensure the fact that us adults clear the path to make sure that girls can walk through that and build as much confidence, courage, and character as possible so that when they become adults, they have that, in some ways, I'm going to use this word, audacity to do great things.
Yes.
And whether or not you're in Girl Scouts for a hot minute or whether or not you go all the way through and you get your gold award, it doesn't matter. That impact of realizing that sisterhood matters, having a sense of belonging matters. And now more than ever, our girls need to feel like they belong in that who they are in their identity. Mm-hmm. All that they bring, their family, their culture, all of it matters.
You are enough just the way you were born. Yes.
Yes. And that then you have people validating that through, not through your phone, not through your social media, but you and I, when we sit at lunch eating French fries, right?
Yeah.
The ability to say, I see you and thank you for seeing me back is a really powerful thing. That's sisterhood. And if you can teach young girls that from the very beginning, all the other stuff will come and go, interest, hobbies, stuff. But that ability to look at another woman and go, I got you.
Oh my gosh, that just gave me chills. I think it's just... You feel like a warm hug anytime I speak to you. You really do. Were you a Girl Scouts?
Oh my goodness. So this is a great story. So yes, for a hot minute. So I'm one of the hot minute people. So I was raised by two really strong Latina mamas. So my mom and my grandma, and my best friend, her mom was Latina. And we were in first grade, and we were like joined at the hip. And she came to school in this brown uniform with these brown socks and this little like orange tie thing. And I was like, where'd you get that? And she was like, I am a brownie. Do you want to be a brownie with me? So I ran home and I was like, Mom, I have to be a brownie. And she's like, who's calling you that? And I'm like, no, like it's a thing. Like it's a place you go. And so she was like, well, I don't know. And I'm like, well, Melissa's doing it. So she goes to the meeting. She lets me go. And she sat at the back of the room, arms folded, and just watched. Like, what could they possibly teach my child? Mm-hmm. And was super skeptical, which makes sense. She was never a Girl Scout. So literally the next year, she was the leader.
Oh, wow.
And she, like, fully jumped in. And I think it was because my mom had the opportunity to see how she could participate, how she could get back. I also think it was an opportunity for me to see her as a leader, which was really special, right? Yeah. And I remember that so clearly. And my dad, so he was super involved as well. He got more involved in the cookie program timeframe. And I have to share this one really quick story about him. So the very first hike outdoor experience I ever had, which most girls in America, their first outdoor experience happens with Girl Scouts. Mm-hmm. And so we went on this little hike and we were hiking and my dad go, ugh, ugh. And I was like, what? And I look back and he looks at me and he goes, Christina, you have to hold the branch. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, you keep hitting me with the branch. You got to hold the branch when you hike. And I was like, oh. And I remember just laughing so hard. And throughout my life, I've started to realize what an incredible lesson that Girl Scouting hike happened with my dad was. Because in life, I think you have to hold the branch for people. You got to hold the branch for the people who are in front of you, mm-hmm. who are behind you, and be aware, right, of who's behind you. So last year, I actually got a tattoo, which was crazy, which everybody disapproved of. So, you know, at 41 years old, being like, can I get a tattoo?
I love that, though.
And so it's crazy because it's really this what Girl Scouting, you know, I was only in Girl Scouts for 2 years, but it had such an impactful moment of a moment I got to share with my dad in the out of doors. And without Girl Scouting, I wouldn't have ever had that really unique opportunity to have a lesson taught, not by Girl Scouting, but by my dad.
Right. You haven't been in Girl Scouts for 2 years, for a hot minute. You've been in Girl Scouts for a long time. And I think the impact that you've done on the organization, it will forever change lives. I really do think so. All the young girls who have felt empowered and seen and heard and just valued for who they are, you know, that's going to carry with them their whole life. So I hope, you know, it wasn't a hot minute, you know, because you're still in Girl Scouts.
Yeah. Once a Girl Scout, always a Girl
Scout. Right. That's what I heard. I know. That's what every Girl Scout would always say. And I'm like, I want to be part of that group. You know, it kind of does form that sense of like your friend did with you of like, what is that? And it sounds really cool. Let me be a part of it.
And it's never too late. Like
I be a Girl Scout?
Yes.
What?
Yes. So one of the things that when I started within the organization that I started to really recognize that if it weren't for my friend Melissa, I would have never been in Girl Scouts because my mom didn't know that was something that was an offering.
Right.
And from a cultural standpoint, that wasn't something that she was a part of as a young kid. Mm-hmm. And so when that legacy Girl Scouting happens, you miss out. And then you get to a point where you're like, well, I want that. Right. So we established a program called Troop Pearl. And for $75, you can actually become a Girl Scout and help two other girls become Girl Scouts.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is super fun. So wow. We meet 4 times a year. And there's an opportunity to just have that sense of sisterhood and connection. And it's really cool because you get pinned. So the first meeting you come to, we do the whole pinning ceremony. And I will tell you, there is so many women who get choked up and they're like, why am I crying? And I'm like, well, because it felt like a piece of childhood that some people got mm-hmm. and some people didn't. So how do we close that gap? Because it is absolutely for everyone.
I mean, inner child is a thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that if you didn't experience it, you know about it, especially like I said, I knew about it. I just was never involved with it because let's be honest, like in my household, it wasn't a thing that my cousins or I did, you know, mm-hmm. but I think it's such a wonderful opportunity of just like you said, it's like healing that inner child of you wanted something and you wanted to be part of something.
Totally.
And now you're given an opportunity even later on in life.
Yep. And how do we ensure the fact that every single girl has that? Mm-hmm. And sometimes what we need to do is ensure the fact that we go back to go forward, right? To be able to say, let me educate you in regards to what this is so you can experience it. So then you feel comfortable asking your nieces and the women and girls in your life to get engaged and involved. But if you don't know, why would you spend the extra time and energy learning that?
Right. I think you're big on sisterhood, and yes, that's something that's at the core of Girl Scouts. Where did that come into your life of being such an advocate for sisterhood and community and just supporting women in general?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think, I do think watching and being raised by two really strong women, my mom and my grandma, I think really did embed that sense of the gift of female connection in your life, and mm-hmm. what that means. And then over time, so it was just the three of us. And so I would always have people over at my house, and really developing friendship and developing that connection with the girls and the women in my life, realizing that sometimes, because all of my cousins lived in California and now here I was in Arizona, like missing that sometimes right. family doesn't necessarily mean blood.
Blood.
And that was like shocking, right? And so then how do you develop that? So when you lack that sense of community or family, how then do you create it? And then making sure that you're continuing to seek that no matter where you go. So learning that at a young age, that it's on me to be able to figure out, how do I build that sisterhood? How do I find community? And then throughout, I think the other thing too, so when I was in college, I started an organization called CAMEO, which stands for Caring and Mentoring Each Other. And when you look at a CAMEO, you always wonder, like, who is she?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what made her like face so perfect that she got it put on a piece of ivory?
Mm-hmm.
And so the question, I think the key element to friendship and to sisterhood, is you always are asking others and yourself, who is she? Who is she in her life? And that you're always going to be changing. You're always going to be evolving. And so to make sure that you have the right people around you to ask that question in all stages of your life of, who is she? And so I think my understanding of friendship and sisterhood has evolved over time, and it's like oxygen to me. Like, I don't think my life works without the women in my life and the young girls in my life, because I think I learned so much from all of them.
What has been one of the most rewarding or impacting moments of creating such a strong sisterhood bond mm-hmm. with anyone in your life?
Yeah. So I have my very dearest, bestest friend, Heather. And it's funny because we tell this story. So her boss at the time, she and I had lunch, and this was a long time ago, like 20 years ago. We had lunch and she was like, hey, well, you know, we have a position open. Why don't you come check it out? So I meet, and so it's Heather and her boss and me. And I think Heather thought I was like coming for a job. I was like, no, like, I don't even know what exactly am I doing here. And I just remember watching her and her watch me and me be like, I come in peace.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, and then that I was fascinated by her career when I was curious about her. And then from there we ended up working together, and then you become more and more and more vulnerable, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that becomes the secret sauce. It's like you give a little bit of trust and you see what they do with it. You give a little bit more, you see what they do with it. And before you know it, you're like, wow, like, I am a better human being because this person is in my life. And now I understand that they can truly see me and I see them, and I'm so grateful for that. There's nothing better than being able to feel fully understood. And somebody to be curious about you just the way that you want to be curious about them. And so I think that, like, when I think about that friendship, it does become sisterhood, even though we are not, it's deeper than a friendship. And I do think, like, I'm going to get spiritual on you for a second, but when we think about, like, from a biblical standpoint, there is a story about, two people and this idea of that friendship is about knitting souls together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that visual is such a beautiful visual of souls being knitted together in friendship, is really cool. And that it's a different kind of love.
No, 100%. And it's funny that you bring that up, because last night I was seeing a quote, either on Instagram or TikTok, that said something in regards to that sometimes soulmates are not, you know, a romantical partner mm-hmm. or whatever, is sometimes soulmates are friends who just come into your life, see you to your core and mm-hmm. understand you and stick through all the good and the bad,
yeah.
you know? And I am blessed to have people in my life that are like that, that no matter what season,
yeah.
they always come back and say, you know, how are you? what do you need?
Mm-hmm.
Or in those moments of doubt, be like, no, 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 you got this. Like, yeah. like get that out of your head. Cause that is not true. And just like kind of grounding you in a way. And I think like, I also learned that, I guess, today speaking with you, that that's like the beauty of Girl Scouts as well, because you're forming a group of women who are being raised together in a way, mm-hmm. who do see themselves to their core because they spend so much time baking or you know, selling cookies or doing these hikes or whatever in yep. all these stages of life, that you start to build those friendships just naturally.
Yep. And you have the opportunity to actually experience stuff together. So that's mm-hmm. the other core element that I think is really powerful in Girl Scouting, is that you have a shared experience, and even though you see it differently, and you get to watch some people really excel at something like ziplining, or mm-hmm. really excel at doing something with robotics, or somebody else really excelling when it comes to, you know, the entrepreneurship and creating something. And once you start to appreciate that in others, and you start to say, like, this is not competition.
Right.
This is not like, it doesn't matter to me. Like, your success does not make me less successful.
Right.
And so therefore I want to boost you up in all that, in all the ways. And so if we can have and give that gift to our Girl Scouts to say, when you're in community with people, find the really good things and lift that up. And that will happen then for you too, is a really great sense of feeling, a sense of belonging. Like, I go here.
Right. Juntas somos más. I always say that. Like, we're not in competition. Like, I want to see you win. I want to see you win. I want to see everyone win. Yep. You know what I mean? Not to sound like Oprah right now. Like, no, you get a car, you get a car.
Everything gets success.
Everyone wins. Yes, yes. I think that's just like what we're all striving for, you know? Okay. And with Girl Scouts, you guys have been in the organization for 110 years selling cookies. Where do you see the trajectory of Girl Scouts going, like with so much growth, with so many new opportunities digitally, you know, everywhere? Like, what do you envision in the next, I don't know, let's say like 10 years for Girl Scouts?
Oh my gosh, bigger, better, and more. I think that when, you know, cookies is a gift, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's been an incredible, because investing in girls has been challenging and girls had to figure out how to do that on their own. I think what we really want people to understand is that cookies is just part of a program. It's not the whole thing. It's mm-hmm. 6 weeks of a 52-week year, right? And all the things that cookie program allows girls the opportunity to travel, to experience things around entrepreneurship, life skills, outdoors, STEM, like anything that they, sports, all the things that they want to do, and that nothing financially is going to have to hold them back. It's actually an equalizer versus saying like, my family has money or doesn't have money. The girls actually are earning that themselves, which is a really powerful thing. And so I think one of the things I would love in the next 10 years is people to understand that the power of the cookie program is really about inspiring girls to do what they want to do. It's just a launching pad. And that as we engage girls, older girls, I want to see as many older girls out there doing all the crazy things, traveling, experiencing things, that we're able to, it be like a real great feedback loop between what girls are needing and then what we can provide for them. And that we meet in the middle and say, great, if you want to be able to learn about the trades, or you want to learn about going to law school, or you want to have access to internships, what are the things that you want to have happen? And then how do we as the adults clear the way so that you can go do that? That's our job, so that you can do yours. And so for, I want Girl Scouting in the next 10 years that every single person knows they have access to it. I want every single girl to know that they can live to their fullest potential. And I hope that they see Girl Scouts as a platform and really that opportunity to be able to get that done.
What do you want your legacy to be?
Oh, sister. Let's see. So I went through this exercise once and somebody said, at the end of it, what do you want the three things that somebody to say about you? And I would say the three things would be, I want somebody to say that we know that she loved the Lord, she loved her family, and she stood for women and girls. And so I think if those were the three things that were said about me when it was all said and done, job well done.
Oh my gosh. Beautiful. Like I said, like, I feel like every single time that I get the pleasure of just like being in your presence, like I learn so much, and I feel like your heart is truly with helping other women succeed.
Thank you.
And I love that about you. I think it's my favorite thing about you. It really is. So I can't wait to see you continue to thrive. You continue to grow, because I also want to see that and support it any way that I can. If anyone watching is interested in getting involved with Girl Scouts in any way, whether it's, you know, they have someone interested in being a young Girl Scout or themselves participating, where can they find more information?
Yes. So they can go to our website. So girlscoutsaz.org. And then it's all right there. So if you scroll down, there's an opportunity to volunteer or to actually enroll. And Girl Scouting starts in kindergarten. We do have a preschool program that you can start right kind of early ages. But it starts from kindergarten all the way up. And I, again, once you're a Girl Scout, you're always a Girl Scout.
Once a Girl Scout, always a Girl Scout.
So we would absolutely love volunteers. We would love for your girls to get involved. So if you have a girl in your life that you think that this is something that they would really benefit from, we'd love and welcome them.
Sign LPT up for the next volunteer event, because I want to go. I want to go. I want to experience this. Like I said, like growing up, I had heard of like other friends, other colleagues, like being a Girl Scout, but I never got to experience it. And now what a gift that you're giving other women, the gift of also being part of it. I think it's healing the inner child of us that sometimes was curious about, we were curious about, but didn't take action on it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so beautiful. And I will be there.
I will be there. We'll take yes. it. We would love for you to
thank
join.
You so much. Thank Your you. Friendship is a gift, honestly, okay. to me. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. Thank you for inspiring so many women and doing everything that you're doing. I think it's impacting the future of so many girls. And like, I get goosebumps just thinking about it. Just you're allowing them space to feel freely everything that they envision come to life.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I deeply appreciate your friendship too.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you everyone for watching. I'll see you back here next week on Wednesday.